Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a response to the day for the 23rd of Av. Let's start by thanking the OU, Rabbi Jacob Bromowitz, and David Hachhauser for helping us make these talks available to you. And for the 23rd of Av, we're going to see a tshuva of the Chatam Sofer from the second volume, the Yerodea section, Simon Reish, Pei Zion, response number 287. And it's one of those tshuvot that brings up topics that don't get discussed all that often because they're not usually relevant to most of us and yet are part of halacha, part of the broader picture of Torah, and therefore deserve at least some of our attention. And the question that was here was, the custom seems to have been, remember the custom Sofer is living in Europe, in Hungary, so we're not talking about an agricultural site in Eretz Israel, but it seems like there was some agriculture among Jews even in Europe. And the question was, there's a common custom apparently that you now I want to say that I tried to figure out exactly what they're talking about and I couldn't find very much about it online, so if you want to let me know the realia here I'm at grothst@gmail.com and I'd be happy to hear about it. But it seems like certain plants, now I'm not sure if they're plants or trees, it talks about anfei, which are branches of ahal. Now ahal I think is like an aromatic wood, I think it's called an agar wood or an aloe wood, but I'm not clear. And I don't think it's aloe itself, Vishoshanim, which usually means roses, but it seemed like for them, when they wanted to plant these things, so this way I think it's a branch rather than a seed, because they would take a branch of what it was, and I don't think that's why you plant rose bushes, but I could be wrong. They would take a branch of whatever it was, they would make a long opening in the branch of that thing, and they would put wheat into it. Okay, and then they would plant it in the ground. And I think it's that since the wheat would develop roots quicker than this other branch, it would in some way become the roots for this branch in the ground, and then the tree would grow. And it wouldn't have any, there wouldn't be any intermixing of the wheat. It wouldn't like the wheat would have any effect other than that the wheat seems to have provided the entrenching, the rooting of this plant in the ground. And the question was, the man's writing to the Chatam Sofer, he says, I think it's usher, I think it's prohibited, because I think it's an example of Harkavat Ilan Biyarek. Now let's remember, there's a prohibition in the Torah of Kilayim. So Kilayim has several manifestations, but Kilayim, when we mix things, so if you're going to mix in Kilei Zeraim, I think you have to mix different kinds of seeds, but I think you have to have a grape seed in there, but you have to mix different kinds of seeds. I think it ends up being three. I think it's two Zeraim and then a wine, and Kilei Akerem, you have a problem. So Kilayim is this problem of mixing things. When it comes to trees, which is what we're going to talk about here, so the example of Kilayim for trees usually seem to be, as understood to be, by the Chatam Sofer as well, Harkava. Harkava is grafting rather than planting. It's that once you have a grown tree, or if you're in the process of growing a tree, and you take some other branch from some other thing, it seems like, and I'm not a farmer, but it seems like you can attach it to that tree, and somewhere they will grow together and be stronger. And one of the places where this comes up halakhically often is in the context of etrogim, because it's like actual etrog plants are very delicate. And so if you're doing this as a business, so you want to make back your money and your effort on it, it's very difficult to do with etrog plants because they really are very delicate. So one of the things that could be done, which is not prohibited, which is not allowed halachically, is that you can be marked if you graft that etrog tree, if you graft the etrog branch onto some other tree, that tree provides the strength. And then the etrog can grow, but it's a morkav and you're not allowed to use it. So that's why if you look on like boxes of etrogim and stuff, or if where you buy your etrog, depending where you buy it, they have all these things to try to tell you, no, it's for sure not morkav. So that's where these kinds of things come up. So the question, man's writing, who the Chatam Sofer is saying, isn't this question a question of a morkav? Aren't you grafting the wheat and the tree together and they're growing together? Isn't that a problem in halacha? It's harkavat ilan biyerek, right? The wheat counts as a yerek, as a vegetable, because it doesn't grow on a tree. It grows straight from the ground. And the other, so that's why I don't think Shoshanim here means roses, because they don't really make a tree. They make a flowering plant, although it could be that I'm wrong. But in any case, I don't think it counts as an ilan, but maybe it does. In any case, though, you're putting together a tree and a vegetable, and isn't that a problem? So even he says, then these trees, the kinds of trees we're talking about here, are not fruit-bearing trees. So in halacha, there are ilanei pri, right? Trees that produce fruit, and then ilanei serek are trees that don't produce fruit. And then you might have thought the halacha is different there, but it's still true that you can't graft it. We're going to get back to an ilan serek later in the responsum, but you can't graft an ilan serek. It's not like you're allowed to. So you might have thought you were allowed to because you're not going to produce kilayim. You might have thought kilayim was about the fruit that's produced, but it's not only about that. So the halacha of ilan serek and how kilayim and how mixing them with other things does or doesn't apply, we'll get to a little bit later in the tshuva. But fundamentally, there is a halacha of harkava when it comes to ilan of kilayim, of not mixing them with other things when it comes to those kinds of trees as well. You can't be markivit al gabi ilan ma'achal, the questioner says. So ilan ma'achal, that's the right way to say it, not ilan pri. Ilan ma'achal, a tree that produces food, and then it would seem like you also can't do it with vegetables or things that grow directly in the ground that produce food, like wheat. That's and we have this in the Shulchan Aruch, Yeridea, in Reish Tzadihei, paragraph Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, and the Chassam Sofer makes the question makes reference to it. Mutar lizroa zraim v'zera ilan ke'echad. You can plant the seeds, regular seeds, and the seeds of a tree together. So I could plant wheat seeds and apple tree seeds together because they're seeds. And you could also plant the seeds of various trees right near each other, even though that's not allowed with kilei hakerem, I think, and with kilei zraim in general. If you're going to plant seeds of other things together, that you couldn't do. But with the trees, you can. Because the halacha is that when it comes to trees, the kilayim that we worry about is called harkava, is the grafting. It's not the seeds. And it doesn't matter whether it's whatever kind of grafting you're going to do. If it's an ilan b'yerek, it's a yerek b'yerek, right? It's vegetables. It's trees with a vegetable, with right? Vafilu eitz serek al eitz ma'achal. Even a tree that doesn't produce fruit with a tree that does produce fruit. Can't do that. Then Sif Dalid says, Yesh yisur harkava afilu tachar karka. And also, that if you're going to do this grafting, then it's already true that it's not just if you do it above the ground, it's if you do it underground as well. Kigon, the example that the Shulchan Aruch gives is, Zimorat gefen, shevricha tachat hakarka. Zimorat gefen is a vine that you graft underground, that you put underground, and the way you put it underground, and it grows up off the ground, you can't plant even a vegetable like a wheat right near it. So that would seem to be, for the questioner, exactly our case, because you're taking not a vine, but you're taking a tree, it's going to be a tree, you're planting it in the ground, and you're putting seeds right next to it. Unless they're separated by dirt of three tfachim. So that's the question. The question is, this is common planting practice, and it looks like this common planting practice is a problem of harkava, of grafting together a tree and a vegetable, the tree being the ahal or the shoshanim, the, I think, agar wood or ala wood, and the roses. So isn't with the wheat. And you're really doing it because not only is there no separation, you're actually sticking the wheat into the branch. And not only that, but it's even worse because not only are you planting them near each other, it's that the wheat plays a role in the growth of the thing. So there, you really seem to be grafting them together. That's the question. Chazon Sofer says, you should know that it's only like 2 weeks ago that I saw one of my family members doing that in the garden. And I said, don't do it. But when I said don't do it, it's because I wasn't sure it's allowed, because I have all these questions. I think it's an issue to think about. But I also don't think that I have enough evidence, limchot ba'acherim, to tell others not to do it. Because what we're saying is, I think there's a real halakha question here. And I'm not really sure how to answer. And therefore, in my own practice, I won't do it. But I'm not going to stop other people from doing it, which is a very important, interesting halakhic stance to take. And it leads to a situation where I've heard people in my own lifetime will say things like, you know, if that rabbi says, well, I don't do it, but I don't stop others from doing it. People say, I will take a halachic stand. So the Chazal is pointing out here, sometimes there's not a clear halachic stand, and you don't want to say, you can't say. It's prohibited to say, I'm pretty sure. But something's prohibited when you're not sure it is. If you think it's prohibited, if that's your best halachic understanding, then you say it's prohibited. And if it's your best halachic understanding that it's allowed, then you say it's allowed. But if you're not sure, then you have to say you're not sure. So, and if you're not sure, what would you do? There are people out there who, if they're not sure about it, they say, well, if I'm not sure it's prohibited, I'll do it. There are other people who will always say, well, if I'm not sure it's allowed, I won't do it. And I think that you have to think about that question. That gets to the question of how do we define yirat chet? How do we define fear of sin? Because we're really afraid of sin. If sin really concerns us, then yirat chet, then we would think very carefully before we would do something in that situation. And now he quotes a Gemara, so I had to look it up. He says, "Nemu Chazal," as if we'll all just know where it is. But Chazal said, he says, "In Shabbat Kuf Mem Hey Amud Bet, and more la Chochma Achotiat." That's not what Chazal said. That's a pasuk. We should call wisdom our sister. If something is clear to you as your sister that it's prohibited, meaning it's clear that one is not allowed to marry their sister. How is it clear that one is not allowed to marry their sister? It's a pasuk of the Torah. So if it's as clear to you as that one is not allowed to marry your sister, then prohibit it to others. And if it's not, don't say anything. So here, He says, I'm not going to say anything because I don't know for sure that it's true, that it's us. Why not? Because I'm not sure that you can call it harkava, that you call it grafting, unless it's two species, two, you know, plants, two trees that are already megudalim lemala meharkarka, that are already grown above the ground, or at the very least, that they're going to grow above the ground, both of them. Whereas here, while wheat could grow above the ground, it's not going to in this situation. What happens in this situation is you stick the wheat in the branch, it makes the roots in the ground, but then it goes away. It doesn't ever grow. It doesn't train. It's not that you grow up. What grows up is just that other tree, that aloe wood or acker wood or whatever that tree is, or that rose bush, if that's what it is. Those grow up, and there's no evidence of the tree of the wheat whatsoever. So that just goes away in the ground. The only function that it serves is providing a rooting process. So the Chassam Sofer says, I'm just not sure that qualifies as kilayim, because it's never going to come out. It's never going to show itself in any way. So for other forms of kilayim, we count as kilayim because it matters at the seed stage, right? That's what the Shulchan Aruch had said. But when it comes to trees, it's the harkava that matters. And even Ilan B'Yerek, it's the harkava that matters. If you were to graft wheat somehow onto the branch of a tree, that would be a problem, harkava, because then they're both showing themselves. And he says he thinks this comes from the source, the pasuk, the verse that establishes the prohibition of harkava, of kilayim, of mixing. When it comes to trees, it says, Sadiqalo tizra kilayim, don't plant your field with mixed species. We're also not allowed to mate animals of different species with each other to create new species. And the Gemara says, Ma in Kiddushin, Ma behemtecha behar ba'a, af sadecha behar kava. Just like your animals, it's harba'a, which means you're taking two existing animals, right? What the Torah speaks about with animals today, theoretically, we could just take it at the fertilization stage, where we could take the male, the semen of a male, and the ovum of a female. We could mix them together and do it that way. But that's not what the Torah was talking about. When the Torah says "demtchalo tarbiya kilayim," it was talking about mating them by having them have an actual physical act of procreation together. So if that's true of animals, afsarcha beharkava. So to in your fields, it's got to be harkava. Ma behemtcha. So if so, says the Chatam Sofer, he says you should look at that Gemara if you want to for more information. If so, then when we come to the animals, he thinks we would say also, now notice, Af Anu Nomar means we might be required to say. That raises a whole interesting topic that's not in the Tshuva, so we're not going to get into. But to what extent, when we see a limud in the Gemara, when we see the Gemara infer something from a verse, and we think there's an easy application of that same inference that wasn't said in the Gemara, that we'd have to do it as well. Meaning, he's noticing that the Gemara is saying that the attributes of, or the aspects of harba'at when it comes to animals, of mating the animals together, affects our understanding of what kilayim should look like in the field for trees. Right? The Gemara said, just like it's harkava, it's a harba'ah, they have to actually physically mate them with each other. So too, when it comes to trees, it's got to be harkava, it's got to be actually grafting them onto each other. So he now says, it comes over and says, maybe we need to say, af anu nomar, just like with your animals, both of the species are seen when the act of kilayim is happening. Maybe that's true when it comes to grafting as well, that both of the species have to be growing out of the ground. Meaning he's not saying, maybe we'll infer that it has to happen above ground only, because the Shulchan is very clear that it can happen underground as well. But he's saying, but I think that it might be that that's only because both of them are destined to eventually grow, sprout and grow above the ground. And if one of them is going to go away completely, maybe that doesn't qualify as harkava from that inference from the example of animals. And he says, and I left that as a question. I'm not sure about that. But he says, but I did answer another question based on that insight of mine. In the Mishnah in Kilayim, in the first chapter, Mishnah Zayin, Rabbi Yehuda says, you can mix yerek be'ilan. You can mix vegetables with trees. I don't think paskin that way, but that's what Yehuda said. And Chatav Tosu Yom Tov Atah Misvar Denav, Shid Tosu Yom Tov, gave his own understanding of how that came about. He says that Rabbi Yehuda held that harkava is only a problem, that harkava, grafting, is only a problem if it makes some new kind of fruit. Right? So if you're going to graft apples and oranges and make, well, it's just apples and oranges, but if you're going to mix together apples and oranges, make some new kind of a fruit, that would be harkava. But when you're going to mix vegetable, you know, yarrow, and it goes directly out of the ground with a tree, and it's not going to produce any kind of mixing that will produce some kind of new species of fruit. Yehuda held, that's what Tosafot Yom Tov said. Yehuda doesn't explain that in the Mishnah. That's the way Tosafot Yom Tov understood what Rabbi Yehuda was claiming. So the Chasam Sofer says, I don't understand the Yosef Yom's reasoning. Why would Rabbi Yehuda possibly think that? Because after all, when it comes to animals, it's prohibited to mate animals with each other even if no new animal is produced. Meaning it's not only species that could produce. And if you meet a horse and a donkey, you produce a mule. Right? But it's not only because you produce a mule that it's a problem, right? A mule is sterile. But it's still prohibited to mate, you know, I don't know, a lion and a mule, if that could be, whatever you would mate, you know, an ox and a mule. Not allowed to do it. It's not, you know, this is what Chasam Sofer is saying. You're not allowed to do it because it's because it'll produce something. You cannot allowed to do it because the action is prohibited. So, and Yehuda Atzmo said, Preda ein marbi'in aleha elamina. That's a much better example. And right? I forgot to look a little ahead. That when it comes to a mule, you can only mate a mule. Not only can't you mate a mule with an ox, you can't mate it with a horse, you can't mate it with a donkey. You can only mate it with its own type. So, and a mule is sterile. So if that's true, then it's not the production of fruit, in this case of you know, babies, of young ones, that's the problem. It's the mating that's the problem. If that's true, then why would the Tosafot Yom Tov think that Rabbi Yehuda would be matir, would permit Ilan B'Yerek, because it doesn't produce a new species, doesn't produce any kind of new form of fruit or vegetable or whatever the outcome of that planting and grafting together would be. By the way, when he says a mule is sterile, I just said it as if it was a fact. He says, because he's the Chasam Sofer and I'm not, that Megillah 13b tells us that a preda, you know, that we have a tradition in the Gemara that a mule is sterile. And therefore, I don't mean he says that in contrast to science. It just means that it's not like it's only, you know, he likes to ground things in halakhic knowledge and halakhic sources. So he thinks that creates a problem for the Tosafot Yom Tov because Tosafot Yom Tov is saying that. I think he's suggesting that now he knows, in his mind, he knows why Rabbi Yehuda would say that it's permissible, because if it was in the ground completely, right, that's where the Harkava was happening, because he would say, it could work for Tosafot Yom Tov. Not that Tosafot Yom Tov, they didn't produce any fruit. I mean, they don't actually grow anything together other than the tree. The vegetable sort of falls away, and that would be a reason why Rabbi Yehuda matcha. I think maybe that's what he means. In any case, back to our circumstances. He says, I don't know, I'm not going to say anything about it. I'm not going to rule either way, because I think there's what to say on either side, and I can't prove that it's prohibited. He does say, and these are words that certain kinds of Jews hate hearing, HaMachmir Tavo Alav Biracha, right, that somebody who chooses to be stringent about the situation should be blessed. So I know some people will say, you know, that's halachic, and the word that comes to mind is mealy-mouthedness. They'll say, if you think it's permissible, say it's permissible. If you think it's prohibited, say it, take a stand. Right? But I know people say that, and I think it's a mistake, because this is a very good example of where what he's saying is, I think it's prohibited, but I can't prove it. That's what he's really saying, right? When he says, what he means is, he thinks that's what you should do. And I know that this isn't true of every time that Rav Moshe Feinstein says it, but I know many people will say, whoa, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, he just means, oh, it's better not to. At least here in this particular response that we have in front of us, I'm pretty sure what the Chassidus was saying was, I think it's prohibited. We know this, that he thinks it was prohibited, really, because when he saw his family members doing it, he said, don't do it. So he really thinks it's prohibited, but he can't prove it, and therefore he's not willing to come out and say, it's prohibited. And then the man writing him said, I had a Ramah in that Siman of Shulchan Aruch that we saw before, Reish Sadi Hei, where the Ramah seemed to say, Mutar la'akib yilenei serek ze al gabe ze, that the Ramah says that you can graft non-fruit-bearing trees. Now, according to what he's saying, that shouldn't be true. And the Rash says that is the Kevan de'ilahem peirot, kulam min echad yechashvu, that when it comes to non-fruit-bearing trees, it's all one big kind of tree. What's the kind of tree that it is? Ilanei Serek, trees that don't produce fruit. And therefore, when you're grafting them, you're not grafting. Now, this would be somewhat similar to what the Tosafot Yom Tov suggested for Yehuda, that if it doesn't produce fruit, you don't have a problem with kilayim. But that, here we're not saying that you don't have a problem with kilayim, because everybody agrees that you can't graft these trees with fruit-bearing trees. But he's just saying, how do you define a kind of tree? So apple and orange trees are different because one is apples and one is oranges. They're just apples and oranges. But when it comes to non-fruit-bearing trees, now it's true, there are people who know these things, who will say, oak is not a good example because they actually produce acorns, but they'll say there's a white maple, and I don't even know these things. And I have trees in my backyard, and every so often I talk to the guy who runs the trees, and he shows me them, and I have no idea what he's talking about, right? But you have a dogwood is a tree? I think it is a tree. Anyway, you have all sorts of trees, different kinds. So the question is, when the fact that we see that they're different kinds, does that halakhically have meaning? So the Ramah seems to paskin, then no, when it comes to them, we're allowed to graft them together because it's all one big kind of tree. It would be like, and I was just mentioning this in my family recently, I was easily in my 40s. I could have been older than that, but I was easily in my 40s before I realized, and I had heard about this disease for at least 20 years, before I realized that non-Hodgkin's lymphoma is not one disease. Right, non-Hodgkin lymphoma is the medical term, or is the term that's used for all lymphomas that are not Hodgkin lymphomas. Meaning, in the world of 30 lymphomas, whatever number of lymphomas there are, there's one lymphoma that got a name, Hodgkin's lymphoma, and all the rest are called non-Hodgkin lymphoma. And I thought they were all. I thought that was just one disease. I thought there was a thing called non-Hodgkin lymphoma. Turns out it's not true. Turns out that there are many different kinds of this. When somebody gets, somebody has a non-Hodgkin lymphoma. Though the treatment and the prognosis, and this will depend on what kind of non-Hodgkin lymphoma, but they don't talk about it. They just say, oh, non-Hodgkin lymphoma. So, and there are good reasons for that. But here, that would be sort of what we're talking about. You have lots and lots of fruit trees. Those are all types of fruit trees. So that would be as if we had lots of named lymphomas, and then a whole bunch of other lymphomas that were non-Hodgkin lymphomas. So here you have a bunch of fruit trees. They're all their own type, their own species. And then This is the idea that we're giving for the Ramah, that was being given here in the Truva for the Ramah. And then there are trees that are non-fruit-bearing trees, and that's all one big type. And that would be why there's no kilayim, because if they're all one big type, one big thing, then there's no kilayim. So the man, the Chatzos, says if that's true about non-fruit-bearing trees, then what about trees that are aromatic? And Ahal, I'm pretty sure the aloe wood and agarwood are aromatic trees. So if you have aromatic trees, and if you're going to treat rose bush as a tree as rather than a vegetable, which I think is what they're doing here, so that too is an aromatic tree. So could you mix them together, the rose bush and the agarwood, because they're not fruit bearing? On the other hand, they are smell bearing, and in their odor, not smell, aroma bearing. That's a better word. Right? What a positive word for when we like a smell, right? Odor has a little bit of a bad connotation, and so does smell. So, but an aroma bearing trees, are they all one species according to this reasoning? Or can we say no, by virtue of the fact they produce something, it's an aroma rather than a fruit, but by virtue of the fact they produce something, then they could be considered different fruits. So the Chazon Sofer says, first let's look back and think about why is it the Ramos basket, it turns out, off the basis of a Yerushalmi. Why did the Yerushalmi decide that non-fruit-bearing trees don't have a problem of harkava? Right, the Rash had explained, when the explanation we've given so far was given in the questioner was because they're all one big species, one big type of tree. So, verse says we got to remember that if it just said in the pasuk 8, we would have considered Ilanei Serek to be included in that. Why would they even consider it? Because they're trees. How do you know? Because it has to say in lots of other contexts, when it wants to tell us that it means only fruit-bearing trees, it says Eitz Ma'achal. So, for example, in the mitzvah of Orla. Orla is the prohibition that when we plant a fruit tree, the first 3 years of the fruit, we can't do anything with it. But theoretically, you could have said, anytime you plant a tree, if it had just, Torah just said, and the Tatum Kol Eitz, for 3 years, don't do anything. That would mean any wood that you had to prune off of it to help it grow, you'd have to get rid of without getting any benefit from. Theoretically, the Torah could have said that. For the first year, 3 years of a tree, get no benefit from it. But the Torah says, Unitatem Kol Eitz Ma'achal. Same thing with Baal Tashrit, the prohibition against waste things. It says, when it says when you go to war against a city, you can't destroy its trees, it doesn't say trees, it says Eitz Ma'achal. It wants you to know that it's only the fruit trees are the ones that are the bigger problem. If they're non-fruit-bearing trees, there's much lesser issues of using them in purpose of building a siege and things like that. So there too, the Torah says Eitz Ma'achal. So it sounds like the Stam word Eitz, the casual use of the unadorned, the unqualified use of the word Eitz, or Ilan, means even non-fruit-bearing ones. So if that's true, then how do we know that Ilanei Serek are not included in Harkava in this prohibition of Kilayim fully? Because the Torah doesn't say Eitz Ma'achal. So you can say, well, there's no two kinds of non-bearing, but that's ridiculous. Not two kinds. Of course there are two different kinds. We see there are different kinds. People who know about these things can identify all the different kinds of trees there are out there, and they're very different from each other. There's a maple and an oak and a walnut. Walnut has fruits, but whatever the kinds of trees are that are out there, right? Eucalyptus, willow, whatever. Lots of kinds of trees. And he says, we have, in halakha, we see there are 10 kinds of oak trees. There are kinds of arazim, of cedar trees. So one option, theoretically, he could have said is that he suggests he doesn't like, is that he could have said that since the Torah refers to the problem of kilayim with trees by saying sadecha lo tizra kilayim, you can't plant your field kilayim, you might have said, well, only fruit trees are planted purposely by people as a field, but other trees just grow wild in the forests. He doesn't like it. He doesn't say why he doesn't like it. And he gives an example. There's an example, actually, in Mishnah and Kilayim of things like that, where you say that. That if they grow wild, it's different than if we plant them ourselves in terms of halachos of Kilayim. But he doesn't like that solution. That I have to say, in our days, I don't think it's only true that those kinds of trees are ones that grow wild. The people who grow them in their, you know, houses and fields and whatever, and they do. So he says, he thinks that it's a pasuk in Breishit that explains. It says, when the Torah in Parashat Breishit, in Maaseh Breishit, when the Hashem is creating the world, when the Torah is presenting its version of the creation of the world, it talks about trees growing leminehu in their kinds. It says, "Eitz pri ose pri leminehu," fruit trees that make fruit leminehu. Now the Ramban there said asher zarobo meant the pasuk also refers to a tree asher zarobo that has his seeds in it. And he said that means not fruit trees. But Rechatzim Sofer says that's just because the words asher zarobo are extra. It's not that those specifically mean non-fruit trees. It means that they're extra words, and therefore he included it. And for sure, of course, Hashem created non-fruit-bearing trees, and that's why the Ramban said there's got to be some kind of oblique reference to it. But if you look at the psukim themselves there in the days of creation, the trees that it refers to are fruit trees. And so why would that be important for us to know? And it says, Liminehu velo serek. It would mean that the non-fruit-bearing trees aren't referred to explicitly as being a thing that has a min. And therefore, you can come to the conclusion, and that's what the Rambam is reflecting, that in terms of these halachot, it's not that we don't think there are different kinds of trees. That in terms of what we care about in these halachic purposes, that's always a very important question to raise. Right? There's truth of how we catch these words. Let's say I say you can't mix different kinds of trees, different species of trees, different whatever word I'm going to use, right? Different types of trees. Then I need to know what the meaning of that word type, species. So you say, well, species is a clear thing. If they can't, you know, if they don't naturally grow together, that's a species. And I could say that could be a species for important purposes, right? But when I come to the halachas of kilayim, I don't know if that's the standard we're using. So the Chatam Sofer is suggesting, to me, there's a lot of logic to the suggestion, because if the Torah is talking about kilayim, I'm not saying this is the reason, but if the reason for kilayim, for the prohibition of these things, is that in some cases when Hashem created the world a certain way, it's not for, at least Jews, there's a whole debate about whether non-Jews are obligated in the prohibitions of kilayim as well, but certainly for Jews, Rabbi Hashem said, in these areas, I created the world a certain way, use the world the way I created it, and do not change the world. There are many, many places where we're allowed and encouraged to shape the world in our own images. And that's part of La'avdo L'shamra, a phrase that my teacher, Rav Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, used to stress as a reminder that it's our job to cultivate the world and to work the world and to protect the world and to shape the world. But kilayim could be a prohibition of saying, on these things, don't do it. If that's true, then that which Hashem stressed at Maaseh Breishit, that which, as I said before, what we have in the Torah for the presentation of Maaseh Breishit has become pretty clear, is not an attempt to be a completely faithful rendering of what happened back in the time of Maaseh Breishit. We're not told lots and lots of aspects of how it all happened. We're told that Hashem said things and then things occurred and how it all worked. We're not really told, and it's not the Torah's interest to tell us. So what the Torah chooses to tell us is telling us information. The Chatzim Sofer is saying, when the Torah presented, the Chatzim Sofer is not in any way claiming there aren't different kinds of non-fruit-bearing trees. He's told you himself, we know of lots of species of Elan, but if kilayim, especially if kilayim, is a prohibition that builds off of our requirement to follow Maaseh Breishit on these issues and to let the world as Hashem created it continue as Hashem created it, so then his noting that in the description of the creation of the world, the Torah focused on fruit trees, It would make sense that the prohibition of kilayim would also focus on fruit trees. Not that non-fruit trees aren't included, because they are included, as we've said, in lots of ways, but that in terms of those issues, they would all be considered one min. Not because they are one min, but because for the purpose of kilayim, they only count as one min, as one type. Now, if that's true, he says, then there's no reason why aroma has any impact whatsoever, because the Torah in Maaseh Bereishit doesn't mention anything about aroma. It talks about fruit, and there's no reason to think that the fact that roses smell good, that rose flowers are very sweet-smelling, doesn't mean anything in terms of the Maaseh Bereishit question. And therefore, that would mean that you would be, he's suggesting that you would be allowed to, following this Ramah, you're allowed to mix, you're allowed to graft non-fruit-bearing trees on each other. We would allow to do the same with aroma-bearing woods and branches and flowering plants and things like that. However, he says, if you look back on that Yerushalmi, that's only one Girsa version. That's one manuscript version of Yerushalmi. There's another one there that holds that even non-fruit-bearing trees have their own species halachically, and we follow them. And he says, Shomer Nafsho Yerpak, he thinks that it would be better to avoid the whole thing, that even with non-fruit-bearing trees, you wouldn't graft them in each other. Especially since, and here we get into the types of reasonings that many, not all, but many modern people feel uncomfortable with, but especially since the Ramban said, in the Ramban's picture of how the world works, the Ramban said that really it's sort of Hashem has like a governing body in heaven that Hashem oversees and rules over and controls, for sure, but that much of the ordinary working of the world is left to forces in the nature, forces that Hashem controls, but that each grass, each type of grass, has a mazal, has some kind of a force in heaven that sort of controls its destiny. If that's true, then their mazalot are different, and then that would make sense to follow that Yerushalmi. So fundamentally, the Chatam Sofer was asked about the practice of including, of using wheat to help certain kinds of flowering plants or trees entrench themselves in the ground. He thought it was really prohibited. He thought it really was an example of grafting, of tree grafting that was prohibited. And he didn't want to say it, though, because he couldn't prove it. He thought it enough that when he saw members of his family doing it, he told them not to. And I think they listened, which is an odd thing. I don't mean it's an odd thing, but it happens in some families they don't listen, but they listened here in his family. But he's not willing to come out and say that it's prohibited. So why is he not willing to come out and say it's prohibited? Because he doesn't know it's prohibited, and the halakha is, unless you know it, you can't say it. So he thinks it's probably prohibited. The reason why it might not be prohibited is because it doesn't show itself above the ground. And there's reason to think, especially because of the comparison to animals, there's reason to think that tree grafting is only prohibited if it shows itself in some way above the ground. And then once you start limiting tree grafting, you get into questions of non-fruit-bearing trees. And there, for all that, there are sources that say that non-fruit-bearing trees can be grafted on each other because they don't bear fruit. And that would then theoretically be the same thing for plants and trees whose product is something that smells good, that has a sweet smell and aroma, that you can graft those on each other. For all there's room to say it, for the reason that we saw, he thinks fundamentally shouldn't do that either, because he really thinks that it's fundamentally grafting in the ways that we've worried about. That is a responsible day for the 23rd of Menachem Av. This was, I didn't say it before, from Tuf Kuf Ayin Hey, from 1815. We thank the OU, Rabbi Jacob Roberts, David Hochhauser, and have a good day.